Hey Paul.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Shagun. Hi, how are you? Hi, Mo.
Hello, Paul. Hey, Shagun.
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
All good. Thanks. Thanks, Nikhil. Thanks for joining in. Thanks, everyone, for joining in. So today, we are trying something different. So we are moving away from our usual astronomy conversations to something which I'm sure everyone has thought of at some time and everyone has pondered over definitely. And this is arguably deep in the realms of science fiction, but a lot of people deny that. So this is about how the concept of a simulated reality, our universe being inside a simulation, is pretty much becoming more and more popular across the spectrum.
Yeah,
And
yes.
this is something we really thought of wanting to discuss about. So just as an overview, we all play computer games, right? And it's been something we all know what we are talking about when we talk about a simulation. So imagine a character running around in Fortnite or even the classics, your Warcraft or Age of Empires or something. Each character there does its own thing. Based on instructions given or pre-programmed instructions, and those routines, those behaviors are all something we can see, and they look logical within the rules of the game. But at some at and for a fact that there's no free will involved in that whole activity. So the speculation is, everything that we do, every single action that we have, is all pre-programmed. It's all directed at some way, and it's inevitable. So while it is fascinating and scary at the same time,
Exactly.
the reality of it is something we are always we can keep debating till hell freezes over, and we thought we'll do
The
that right
topic
now.
can actually change from having consciousness to not having consciousness, being
Yes.
actually consciousness to just being a just unconscious
Yeah.
human who are just having doing the things which the simulator has told us to do. So
Of
yeah,
course,
so
yeah.
that is
So, Shagun, just
absolutely
set a context to this. We know what simulated reality is, but why is this even a thing today? Why are we talking about something of this sort?
Well, to be very honest, today science is at a verge where we try to explain each and everything on a very atomic and on a very quantum level, and where the thing comes, that is artificial intelligence. So each and every person, and actually a researcher, tried to explain things at a quantum level, and actually artificial intelligence do have its own stage on explaining things. And actually, universe is such a vast concept that we can add various things, various theories into it. And so the same has came into the trends right now. Like for the very first, if I start, it is actually from it actually comes from the beginning of our universe. Like at what level our universe has made, actually each and every, like maybe from the very starting, like if we talk about maybe the occurrence of the universe, that is Big Bang. And talking about to the thing that is our existence right now is actually kind of controversial, because it makes people think that how in our, if we talk about only our solar system, like how only in our solar system only planet Earth is habitable. This actually sounds like the simulator wanted us to succeed, like as Earth, as people, like simulator wanted us to win this game of simulation and actually survive and exist, right?
Okay, so yeah, so basically the whole simulation is happening on Earth. Earth is the center stage of this entire simulation, and
Like
everything else
could
is
be,
basically non-player characters.
exactly, like having at this point having no contact with any kind of extraterrestrial things, and having limits to almost everything we talk about today. Okay, if we talk about the tiniest limit we have today is like the Planck's limit. Like everything
Right.
after the Planck limit actually breaks down, the physics breaks down over there. So it is, it actually sounds like a simulator have put us limit over us, to not to go ahead over such things. If we talk about the speed of light is
Correct.
also a kind of limit for us, yeah. Today we can't actually escape the speed of light is actually kind of limit. We can't contact or to extraterrestrial lives and everything. So the speed of light is actually the thing which makes us live, which makes us feel like we are in a simulation, or maybe we are alone, or maybe we are just created by someone who want to know more about how we can take out things, you know.
So correct me if I'm wrong, these limits which you're talking about, like the Planck's limit or the speed of light for that matter, are essentially some limitations to our activity or, you know, our behaviors that don't have any logical explanation. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Like, okay. Tell me, so let us start from, you know, thinking the same thing. Like, okay, let us think that we are in a universe which has developed all this information and all this knowledge of making any virtual reality. Like, we are at the stage of technology where we can actually make the VRs and everything. Like, this is a very recent thing. You have absolutely heard of that in Minecraft thing. A person has a child of 18 years, you know, has created the whole universe in it. So isn't it kind of familiar to us if we also think that we are in a simulation and we are also doing the things which creator want us to do?
True, exactly. That's the thing, right? I mean, you do it yourself in a world building game of any sort, which are, you know, dime a dozen today. So why is that not applicable to us? That's the fundamental question in this entire conversation. So you know, but what are the markers? What makes you think that this could be a simulation? I mean, of course. So let's just take a step back. You know, this concept is not new, right? This concept has been around in popular imagination for a long time. And obviously, I mean, forget everything else. Just look at, say, the movies that have been there, right? From Logan's Run to The Matrix to, you know, everything all the way down to whatever, Ready Player One. You have this whole concept of someone living inside a simulation, right? And in many of these movies, it is living inside the simulation without being aware of the fact that you're in the simulation. So, I mean, like Matrix, for example, right? So how does this translate to us, and how do you, you know, take the, you know, the how, what is the red pill blue pill equivalent of today's world, where you can realize that you can actually get out of the simulation, or you realize that you are actually in a simulation?
It is not actually, you know, getting out of the simulation. Right now we are struggling in a simulation, or maybe we are not. Maybe we are the real universes, or maybe we are a, you know, simulated one. But if, like you said, to take a step back, let us talk about the, you know, position of Earth in our solar system, where, you know, this is the only position of Earth which makes it habitable and not the other planets. Like, if we are very, you know, we are in a great closure with the sun to make, you know, gravity habitable for us, which makes temperature habitable for us, which makes atmosphere habitable for us,
right?
Not like the other planets, which are just, you know, barren, or maybe a hot things, or maybe a very cold things, which actually makes things habitable, right? And secondly, if we talk on a very atomic level, you know, on atomic level, electrons do repel each other, right? So in reality, we don't really touch anything. Everything we are feeling right now, everything we talk about right now, I don't know how this shit is really happening. But if we ain't actually connecting to the things practically, how the things are happening, you know, this actually makes me think that how the things are actually happening right now. Like, even in our brain, the neurons which, you know, contact with each other, they also contact in electronic, you know, they also contact in electronic signals,
right?
So electronic signals are running in our neurons, and neurons are, you know, running our whole body.
Electrical, so, not electronic.
Electrical, yeah.
Exactly. Electrical signal, sorry. So I think that this is a kind of, you know, explanation which can which make so, us Shagun, think
it's, you know, interesting. I have a question though. What do you mean that the atmosphere is perfect and was created for us, or the gravity was perfectly created for us? Is it also not true that life evolved on this planet? So it was actually an iterative process, trial and failure. Many individuals perished. The ones with the correct genetic modifications or mutations are the ones that continue to survive and then evolve further. So yeah. You know, the atmosphere has changed, right, over a period of time. And there is also evidence to suggest that perhaps Mars was in the habitable zone, but then certain astronomical events might have occurred, right? So it's very difficult. We don't really have all of the information. While it's very tempting to think that we're in a simulation, and in a lot of ways, you know, you can argue for it as well. At the same time, you can argue that what is reality then? Right? Because as a species, we haven't achieved a situation where we can create a simulation which is 100% engrossing all the time, and it is possible to apply on a very large scale, right? If you could do that, then yes, sure, you could probably conceivably say that yes, creating a simulation advanced enough to fool billions of life forms for thousands of years is certainly doable. And so it should be done. No. But at the same time, you know, like you said as well, we haven't encountered aliens yet. The speed of light is a hard speed limit, which is very irritating. But there's also the possibility of, you know, being able to create wormholes and being able to travel across very large distances using that. But then, of course, you're still not defeating, you know, time dilation and all of that stuff. So there's going to be a lot of relativistic effects as well. And it, you know, that's the other irritating thing about it. Even though we may become a, you know, a spacefaring species, maybe the ones that get left behind on Earth won't live long enough to ever know what the outcome was.
So, Mo, I have a point of view there. This, you know, when you talked about Earth being, you know, ideal and that is iterative, I think it warrants it to say that that could be actually part of the simulation, because again, in any game for that matter, I'm trying to make it as simplistic as possible, but any game you play, you do any action and there's always a build up to it, right? This could have been the build up, and the time scale is something cosmological, right?
That life isn't actually common, but you know, it's constantly being destroyed, and there are very few civilizations that get beyond a certain point. So again,
that's another conversation. The whole Fermi's Enrico Fermi's story, that I think that we should have a separate conversation on, and that's going to be super interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, that's also an entirely possible scenario, because right now we just don't have enough information. So, you know, anything is possible. And as a scientist, you must be willing to accept that, yes, that is possible too. And this is possible too. But as we get more information, you know, we start to refine our understanding, and you can reach a point where you can definitively start to say that, okay, while that may also be true, it is more likely to not be true because of the following reasons. And then you can get more evidence.
Exactly. That's why we say that it is a simulation theory, right? We don't have any evidence of maybe we are the reality or maybe the simulation. It could be anything, right? That is why we talk about the simulation theory and the holographic theory, that which also states that maybe we are the shadow universe, nothing reality, nothing simulation, but the shadow thing, which are made up of the information only being projected from a black hole kind of thing. So that is also kind of, you know, interesting thing, which actually...
Like, what would be the mechanism of action, right? Again, we don't have enough information. What is the range of the receiver? Yeah. We should send someone to Mars and find out. If they shut down halfway, we're like, oh, okay, there's something to be worried about here.
The game rules are broken. Or maybe we're just creating another, you know, a module which is going to be on Mars over time. I don't know. But, you know, just to take this... Exactly, yeah. No, but just to take this, you know, just to kind of look at this both from the view of what the proponents and the critics say, right? So you have a lot of big names which actually say that. Of course, you have the mad guy Elon Musk who did say that, and that was a recent big news. But then you also have people like Neil deGrasse Tyson who give it a 50-50 chance. And so while these are the headlines which are being made, what is the actual indicators that people think are, or, you know, the popular scientists think that, you know, we are actually in a simulation? And you have big people vouching for these things. So what is that? Yeah, what are those pointers which can be there?
I'm interested to hear what Shagun has to say on that.
Yeah.
I have a few four points on that, but after Shagun.
Sure, Nikhil, yeah.
Okay, sir. Actually, there are very, very facts, you know. First, we talked about the positioning of Earth, right? And second, the second things are the DNA mutation things, which happened over Earth, you know, which made us today what we are. And there are many things like maybe the distances between the each and everything, like we are in contact with today, and we can't escape the reality or maybe the simulation. We can actually talk about it, right? So what are the facts you want to know about?
Okay, so, and Nikhil, you can go next, but I just want to clarify, I think, maybe add a little bit, so maybe something to think about.
Yeah, sure.
The only way you can tell that you're in a simulation is if you come across a situation where you can definitively say that it is broken or reality is broken, and that breaks that illusion. And so you become aware that you are in a simulation. It's the so-called glitch in the matrix.
According to our reality, the reality can only be broken at the Planck's limit, right? We have talked about it earlier. The Planck's limit and the speed of light are the limits where we can say that the reality or the physics is broken. So if we can come across such things, maybe any day, we can talk about the things that reality is broken or we are in a simulation or anything like that. So Nikhil, we can go with you.
Yes, so being a programmer for more than 1.5 decades, there has to be, if you say a simulation, right, there has to be some kind of a code that is running to create this simulation. And the only way we can find out if it's a simulation or not, as Mo said, there's a glitch in the system, right, or the limits in the system. Now, our processors are limited by our physical, laws. We cannot go beyond that physical law. So if you say speed of light, right? So it might be some kind of a limitation on the alien who is creating the simulation. That processor has a limit, which cannot go beyond the speed of light. So that is one indication. Second indication is spooky action at a distance, which is basically also called as, I forgot the name. So what happens is if one part of the atom is disturbed, the other part of the atom in the edge of the universe also reacts, right?
You mean now that can only happen.
Exactly, quantum entanglement. Yeah. Now that quantum entanglement can only happen through coding, right? If one more of my pixel, I disturb one of my pixels, the other end of the pixel is basically shaken there, right? Mm-hmm. It's basically like the code can do it. It cannot. The physical laws cannot do that. The code is involved in doing that.
This is the thing which string theory explains. You know, string theory explains things like quantum entanglement you just mentioned, and so, it actually is what the. Yes,
sorry, Shagun, but string theory is mostly like meh right now. Like, I don't think anyone is actively working on developing it, and I think most are in agreement that it's probably a dead end. But and I could be wrong about this.
It's not about developing, but if you go in, you know, in the detail of the string theory, we do find the traces of.
So that's why it was an appealing theory, but unfortunately, you cannot prove it anymore. Like, it's just not possible. We don't have that kind of energy sources, or no one has come up with an elegant solution to it.
The same thing. That is why it is called theory and not the, you know, theoretical explanation of anything.
There's a probability.
Isn't that a limitation of our resources rather than the theory in itself being fallacious?
Sure. I mean, look, it could be possible, but unless someone makes a breakthrough or someone comes up with a novel way of replicating that at a smaller scale that scales up in a predictable way, then yes, you can pursue that further. But in the absence of any further evidence, how can you put all of your eggs in that basket? And that's the problem that essentially string theory has run into. So until that breakthrough occurs, it's going to unfortunately sit on the back burner. It could be true, right? But it could be wildly wrong as well, but you have no way of confirming it. So instead of just sitting there, they're going to have to try and do something else or come up with a different way of explaining it.
Right.
Yeah, that is
what you're saying.
We only have chances of saying anything. Yeah,
well, I mean, look, consider Einstein's theory of relativity. How did anyone even come to realize that his theory of gravitation is actually true? They had to wait for a solar eclipse, and two teams traveled to different parts of the world, and then they were able to prove that, look, gravity, light does refract under gravity, and it bends around massive objects. So that's how there was confirmation, and, you know, there was evidence to support it. If you consider quantum entanglement, I believe a Nobel Prize was recently handed out for that. Uday can talk about that. And that was essentially to do with quantum entanglement and how that is actually a real thing.
Right, yeah. So this is getting extremely interesting. And I think there's something which Shagun had mentioned a little earlier, you know, I mean, the holographic theory, where this is a shadow universe of an existing universe. So could you just explain what that is before we, you know, go probing into that a little more?
Okay. So before explaining that, we should know what the black hole thing is and how, if we're talking about the shadow, how it can do the same thing.
Right.
So in a black hole, what happens? The the matter and the energy splits, right? If, if I talk about I am entering into a black hole, if I enter into a black hole, the only thing which happens to me, gonna happen to me is like my matter and my information stored in me. are going to split. Okay, so the event horizon of the black hole is going to do the same thing with the information that event horizon, that at the event horizon information is stored, right? And the matter is just get distorted just because of the huge gravity, right? So what thing can actually happen, that if, you know, maybe because maybe in the future, if we are able to extract that information from the black hole, we have that ability to recreate the thing from the information and from the energy, right? And the same thing could be happening with us, that maybe from the same information around the black hole, we are getting into a projector like a thing, that we are being projected into a thing that is called universe in our language. Maybe we are getting projected as a universe, and the matter and the energy, and from the information we are getting relived again, you know. So this is the projection theory, of the shadow theory, which explains that how we could be a shadow universe for now.
Is quantum entanglement again an explanator for this?
I don't think so. Maybe at a quantum level we can talk about the quantum entanglement, but that maybe the quantums that the
No, I'm just building off what Nikhil had mentioned earlier. You know, you have one element, which is, or one atom, which is doing something here, which is kind of getting mirrored somewhere else.
The information is vibrating at the event horizon,
right?
Black hole, and the same, and it may be causing any kind of, you know, that entanglement with another quark or quantum at the different edge of the universe. That also can make, you know, a shadow universe.
Is this a scientific theory? The shadow universe,
the holographic one,
the black holographic theory. If you you can find out the holographic theory thing. Like, this actually depends, you know, if you're gonna study about the black hole, so you may know about the black hole thing and how.
So can you tell me when human beings discovered black holes, or when that actually happened?
Sorry,
do you know when human beings actually discovered black holes?
Maybe when Stephen Hawking just
He theorized it, right? It was still not a confirmed occurrence. I think, you know, it was what, 2018, when we converted the entire planet into a giant telescope and we took a picture of a black hole. So
yes, I guess the definition of discovery is visually looking at it, right? When you define it that way, yes, yeah.
But then, you know, there's also the LIGO observatories. Have you heard of them, LIGO?
Yeah.
Laser interferometry gravity observatory.
Yes.
Yeah. So their only job is to detect gravitational waves, right? So this theory of the shadow universe, it doesn't make sense to me, because it doesn't propose any kind of mechanism through which it's acting. So there should be a way to experimentally do this, or potentially tap into another shadow universe, because there's apparently thousands, if not billions, of black holes scattered throughout the universe. And possibly even in our own galaxy. So I don't know. And you know, I was also thinking about Nikhil, basically him saying that this could only be achieved through code. And so I was thinking, like, how would you code something like that? And how has society changed? So, for example, we kind of leveled up from cavemen into tribes people. And then we basically became like little fiefdoms and then kingdoms. And then we learned to enslave people. And so the level of autonomy that each automaton or each individual in this game could achieve would be limited by their social reach, maybe the amount of money they had. And so those rules have persisted into modern society. But the only problem now here is that everyone thinks for themselves to a greater degree. So I think maybe the simulation received a massive memory and processor upgrade at some point. But I think like they can't do away with the speed of light limit, though.
Yes, Mo, I'd like to add something over here. So this has happened due to a process of evolution. Now, process of evolution is nothing but trial and error. It's a very dumb process, but can create intelligent things, right? So what probably the simulation is doing is, the evolution is programmed into it, where it creates trials and errors and create intelligent systems. The program is simple, but it creates complex things.
So I can't wait for the first talking dogs. And I can't wait for the animals to start plotting their takeover of the planet Earth, because that should happen, right?
Now, the thing is, we have reached a stage where humans have taken charge of evolution. That's unlikely to happen.
But the simulation can still reset everything, right?
Yes. It can, it and can. Provided there is a need.
Dogs and talking yes. animals. Then you, what you can do is molecular engineering, DNA engineering. You can add the codes. The same thing. The codes
more,
and the
more
genes.
Things in evolution happen when there's a need for it. If there's a need for it, it will happen. Otherwise,
exactly. But then there is no intent behind it. You see, that's where, and I think Charles Darwin took great pains to explain. Evolution cannot have
intentional explanation of the thing.
Exactly. There's no intent.
So let us think of the universe where time travel is not possible, like our universe. Okay.
Time travel is definitely possible. This is really difficult.
But maybe we are doing very great in the VR things and in making the simulations and things. So maybe we do want to know that. Maybe we do want to know the how our ancestors just evolved. Or maybe I want to know how the World War III will happen. Maybe I want to know how the World War V will happen. So what I do is just make a simulation of my ancestors.
But how do you know that's accurate? Because you're not accounting for every single variable. Like, for example, you may have heard of the grandfather paradox. Or potentially.
Yeah. That is why I said maybe the time travel is not possible for the future universe.
Look, I can definitely tell you a way that's supported by science where you could travel in the future, technically, and you know you
that
could depart on a rocket
speed
ship.
Of light.
No, well, you don't have to go the speed of light. You just have to be going really, really fast. Because as you go faster, time passes slower. Because, you know, everything is stretching. Your mass increases. And that happens infinitely. And that's why you can never reach the speed of light, right? You can only get really, really close to it. But that is if you had, like, I don't know, a massive nuclear engine of some kind. But that's not realistic.
And what about?
But hey, you know, you can get on an airplane and then you can brag that, hey, I'm 0.00013 seconds in the future now, you old man.
We are already living in the past just because of the refraction and things, right? We are living 8 minutes in the past just because of the bending of light from the sun.
No, that's not true. Because light is still traveling at its own speed here within Earth, within our atmosphere. And it's only slowing down a very, very minuscule amount. The sun is not the clock of the universe.
The point again builds back to this, right? That limit which we are talking about as a speed of light here, is it an engineering limit or a limit enforced by the laws of the universe? So if it is an engineering limit, then one day or the other we're definitely going to hit that number, right?
No, it's a law imposed by the universe. So essentially what happens is as you start approaching the speed of light, the amount of energy required to maintain that speed becomes near infinite. But at the same time, your mass is also increasing because E equals MC squared, right?
Correct.
You can move stuff around and you know, as you start to get closer and closer, you literally become heavier, you become longer. And so you take, you know, the equivalent amount of energy. So to an external observer, from your perspective, everything will be like, I'm going 100% full power. The rocket's giving it all she's got. And this is how fast I'm going.
That's true. Yeah. So that actually means then there is a governing law which puts irrational or illogical limits to this entire universe. And therefore, there could be something bigger than the whole thing. I mean, that's the root cause of this whole discussion of simulation, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's absolutely possible. But again, you know, like, unless we actually go out there and do it and try different things and try different experiments, how else are we going to know? Because if not, and even in today's modern world, there are individuals, large groups of individuals, who actually believe that the Earth is flat and that it's all one giant government conspiracy. So, you know, you have to be careful about what you sort of promote as being science, because it's very easy to cross over into the realm of science fiction. And everyone loves to listen to that and everyone loves to talk about it because we're all geeks at heart. But we got to be careful with this stuff.
Yeah. So closing thoughts, Shagun. So this being, again, the whole conversation of it being a simulated reality versus it not being that. When are we going to know more information? I mean, it's as open-ended as that. So is there anything that we got to keep, like Mo said, is there something to watch out for that would kind of give us more information on where we are headed?
If you want to know, actually, it is knowing all about quantum. We can't know a lot about quantum, but yeah, if we want to head in this conversation anymore, then one should start from the, you know, quantum physics and quantum things, just to give more explanation to these topics. And actually, to be very honest, this is actually just a theory. So we can't really say that if we are in a simulation or no, we are not in a simulation. There are no facts to anything. So
thanks. This is a fun conversation. I think we should do more such ones. Thanks.